Back here at Marlins Park tonight for the last of three between the Marlins and the Mets. The Fish trying to avoid a sweep, and it won't be easy. They'll be tasked facing Matt Harvey offensively this evening. Joining us for a couple of minutes, radio broadcaster for the New York Mets, Josh Lewin. Josh, it's always great to see you, great to chat with you tonight. If I told you that on August 5th you'd be providing all of your listeners with statistics on Michael Conforto, Yoenis Cespedes, Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe, late in ball games, and we'll see him tonight, potentially Tyler Clippard, you would have told me what?
Yeah, though, that sounds pretty crazy. I mean, it's a lot of new bodies, but the existing guys are stepping up now too, and supposedly David Wright is getting closer to his return. So, you know, for you guys, it's been one of those seasons where everything that could have gone wrong did, and for us it did for a while, but now suddenly since the All-Star break things are turning.
Certainly has not gone the way the Marlins would have hoped this season. There was a lot of talk coming into the year that, you know, maybe the Marlins and the Mets battle it out down the stretch for a potential wild card spot, and everybody had already crowned the Nationals National League East champions. But a story that's come out recently, and I don't think it comes to any surprise, is that certainly the Mets will be looking to limit the innings of some of their young top starters down the stretch. How do you see that playing out? There are a couple of guys, Dylan G and AAA Steven Matt, certainly hopeful to come back in early September. How do you see that playing out, especially if they're in the hunt?
Yeah, Matt's coming back will be big. That gives you a chance to have a six-man rotation, which they've been talking about now for a while. And you're right, you go down and grab a Logan Verrett or a Dylan G, you space out the starts the best you can for really those big three arms that you're really talking about, Syndergaard and DeGrom and Harvey. So, it's a liquid situation, but, it's one of those balancing acts where you've got to make sure you're protecting your long-term investment, but also you recognize you got a window to win right now.
You talk to 25 guys in the clubhouse on a daily basis. You are down there. The team is playing very well right now. Is there a feeling in the New York Mets clubhouse that they could do something pretty special this season?
I think so. I mean, you know, Washington is just kind of letting us hang around. You know, I mean, the sense all along was when they really get their P's and Q's together, you know, I mean, at least until this current construct of the Mets, it would be, you know, whenever they decide to zoom away, we'll just kind of wave at them and, hey, it was fun while it lasted. But while they kind of, you know, just let us hang around, we got better. And all of a sudden, you get the sense that this is on now, that it's a legit chance to trip up the team that everybody thought was going to win this division by a dozen games.
The Nationals have let the Mets hang around. The whole country got to see Noah Syndergaard, the Mets, and the Nationals this past Sunday night. It was an electric atmosphere in New York, in the Big Apple, and I want to chat with you about that, Josh. There was a lot of people saying it felt like a playoff game. This place hasn't rocked since the days of Shea Stadium. How enjoyable was that, the vibe in the Big Apple right now? A couple of teams atop the AL East and the NL East. It's a pretty rocking city in baseball.
It is, and I mean, that last homestand, it felt like English soccer. You know, I mean, the fans were chanting and singing and, very eager to embrace the new guys, Cespedes especially, and, you know, Wilmer Flores had the moment where, you know, they caught him crying because he thought he had been traded, and that really kind of endeared him to not only Mets fans, but I think baseball fans across the country, that here's a guy that, you know, has only known this group, he doesn't want to leave, and that kind of hit a nerve with a lot of people. So it's been a pretty special last week and a half.
Josh, as we wrap up, last question for you. Have you been surprised, and every team, 29 other teams outside of the New York Mets endure injuries throughout the course of the year, but given what the Mets have been able to do and stay afloat at certain points of this season, David Wright gets hurt just a couple of weeks into the year. They find out before the season there will be no Zach Wheeler. The offense was pretty malignant at points. Have you been a bit surprised?
Yeah, you know, it needed Lucas Duda's return to form. He had a miserable June and half of July, but all of a sudden he's been unreal. And you're right. I mean, Kadire's given them basically nothing. David Wright's played in eight games. Darno has been mostly out of the lineup. Yet they found a way to hang around. And now it just seems like the front office has stepped up, kind of doubled down a little bit. You know, they bring in these reinforcements, and then the vibe is great.
Josh, always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Kyle. Be well.
When we come back, Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner join you for the starting lineups in the first pitch. I'm Kyle Seeloff. You've been listening to Marlins on Deck on the Miami Marlins Radio Network.